The scripture reading this morning is John chapter 8. We read the verses 1 through 12. John chapter 8, the verses 1 through 12. And there we read God's word. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So far the reading of God's holy word. The text for the sermon is verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Beloved congregation, imagine that you are driving late at night, and there are dark clouds above you, and suddenly your car lights fail. Immediately you are engulfed in darkness. You can't see the road in front of you anymore. You hit the brakes. You try to look, which way should I go? Because in darkness, you don't know where you're going. You lose your way. I know a man who once had to travel with a horse and wagon through a dark forest. And on a certain occasion, a certain place, the horse stopped. Because it was so pitch dark, the horse didn't want to go on any further. And the man had to get off the wagon and lead the horse on foot. Because to be in darkness is awful. Imagine your own home. It's late at night, the lights are on, and then you flick the lights off and everything is dark. You have to feel your way, although you know your house very well. But before you know it, you bump into a wall or something because it's dark. We need light. And you know, man once had light, full glorious light in paradise. But we listen to the Prince of Darkness. And then we fell into darkness. And then the Lord could have left all his creatures in that darkness in which they had thrown themselves. that the Lord was so good and kind and loving that he was going to shed light upon mankind again. And so the Lord sent his only begotten Son. And before that, the Lord shone light upon one little nation of his whole world, Israel. The rest was all in darkness. And then the Lord Jesus came. And he declared, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We consider the light of the world, and we notice three things. Saying, because the Lord Jesus spoke these words. Saying, following, because those who follow him, and then walking, they shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So we consider the light of the world, saying, following, walking. So the Lord Jesus has just delivered this woman who was caught in adultery. The Pharisees and scribes had a certain pleasure in bringing this woman to the Lord Jesus, as we saw last week, trying to lead the Lord Jesus to say something wrong that they could accuse him. But the Lord Jesus understood their setup, and he diffused them totally. And they all had to droop off. And finally the woman was standing there alone in the midst of all the people who were watching. All her accusers had left. None of them had condemned her. And then the Lord Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. It was a clear call to a new life, a life of repentance. This woman had been led out of darkness of sin to the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. But these Pharisees, they were continually rejecting the light of God. They chose darkness and preferred darkness above light. And it was then in that setting that the Lord Jesus said, I am the light of the world. A light of deliverance had gone up above all those people who were watching. They recognized that what the Lord Jesus was saying was true, that it was light, that it was love. And then the Lord Jesus clearly revealed that I am the light of the world. We read here in our text that it says, then spake Jesus again unto them. Again. Because that refers to verse 2. Where the Lord Jesus was speaking and teaching the people. And he was then rudely interrupted by these Pharisees who just came on the scene, drew all the attention to themselves. But now, because of what they had done, the Lord Jesus could reveal himself clearly as the light of the world. The setup of these Pharisees was to harm and to tarnish the credibility of the Lord Jesus. But the opposite happened. The Lord Jesus gave a clear illustration that he came to deliver and to lead from darkness into light. And so the Lord Jesus could clearly say, I am the light of the world. The Lord Jesus again spoke to them, to the people, but also to the scribes and Pharisees who were still at a distance, perhaps, watching. The Lord Jesus had already spoken so much also to these scribes and Pharisees. And they're still not done, because in the next verse, the Pharisees again are going to accuse him that his record, his testimony is not true. So there were still Pharisees and scribes standing there with enmity against Christ. And then in spite of their indifference, the Lord Jesus spoke again to them with so much patience. Years on end, the Lord Jesus spoke to these Pharisees and scribes, but they refused to listen. What patience of the Lord. And how much patience has the Lord had in your life? How many sermons have you heard? And how many times have you heard the Bible being read? And every time the Lord is speaking to you and to me, what patience that the Lord is speaking to us. And so he speaks to these Jews. And then the Lord Jesus is going to give a glorious self-revelation. He reveals himself as he really is. He is the light of the world. What a beautiful saying. What a beautiful, absolute declaration. I am the name of God. The I am is speaking. He is God of God. I am the light of the world. It had already been prophesied in the Old Testament that the Savior, Messiah, would be the light of the world. In Isaiah 42, verse 6, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and I will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. Or Daniel 2, verse 22, where the prophet Daniel speaks about God and says, he receiveth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. But also further on in Isaiah 49, verse 6, it was said of the Messiah, I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. And you know, Jewish rabbis, they read the Old Testament, and they knew it referred to Messiah, so they had all kinds of theories about the Messiah. They still have that today. And so they, having read the Old Testament, those Jewish rabbis explained that light is the name of the Messiah. And light dwelleth with him, Daniel had said. Now God is light, and Christ is the image of the invisible God, so he is God of God. He is light of light. And here the Lord Jesus clearly reveals himself as the light of the world. And already in the New Testament, by the guidance of God's Spirit, it was said by Simeon in Luke 2, verse 32, that the Lord Jesus will be a light to enlighten the Gentiles. And so we can say that if you make a comparison to the sun is shining, the sun is the visible light of the world. And likewise, Christ is what we call, what Scripture tells us, the Son of Righteousness. And there is healing in his beams, in his rays. The Lord Jesus here reveals himself as being most excellent and glorious. He is the fountain of light. He enlightens every man. Now, how awful would this world be if there would be no sun? But if there would be no sun, there would be no life. There will be nothing here but dark coldness. Life would not be possible. But the sun shines brightly. And that's why there is life. Life abounds. It's all by God's grace. And likewise the Lord Jesus is the sun, the light of the world. And without him there's no hope. Without him there's no light. There's no perspective, no future, there's nothing. Without Christ, your life is a dark dungeon. And you're never satisfied. And you never have peace. And you just moved on, chasing after vanity. Vanity of vanities, it's all vanity. Indeed, if we are outside of this light shining upon you, this light telling you where you're heading for, leading you in the right direction, shining light upon your heart, uncovering you to your sins and shortcomings, this light opening up a path for you to walk on, this light shedding light upon the triune God and his mercy and goodness, how we need this light. The people of Israel had to go through a howling dark wilderness. And at night, it's pitch black. But the Lord took care of them. That pillar of a cloud by day was changed into a pillar of fire at night. So there was always light. Israel walked in the light of God. There was always light. If they would get up late at night, they would look out, there would be light glowing around them. And so the Lord Jesus is the true guide who leads to heaven, who leads through the wilderness of this world, who gives deliverance time and again of all our daily needs, who gives perspective. He sheds light upon your path. He gives light to those who are in darkness and have no light. He is the light of the world. And he's the only one. It's not that there are others who are also lights. No, the Lord Jesus is the only light of the world. He only shines brightly in lives of people. In the midst of a sin-laden mankind, exposed to judgment, the Lord Jesus is their only light to deliver them from that judgment, to give them salvation. It doesn't matter who you are. He is the light of the world, Jew or Gentile, rich or poor, learned or unlearned, male or female, young or old. It doesn't matter whoever you are. All of us here, we need this light. He is the light also of us here in Dundas. The light of the world, the light in our lives. And the Lord Jesus must proclaim that he is the light of the world. He must do that. He must proclaim himself. No, there's nothing to do with any ulterior sinful motive of self-exaltation. No, the Lord Jesus must be exalted regardless above all. But here the Lord Jesus, his focus is upon people. He just gave a picture of how he led that woman out of darkness of adultery to his wonderful light. And he's preaching to all of us. The only source of all light. No one else ever dared to say, I am the light of the world. Nobody. No leader of a world religion. No prophet, no apostle. Nobody. Only the Lord Jesus. Because he was God of God. And so the Lord Jesus is the light of the world. But then the Lord Jesus also speaks about following, because we need to follow that light. It's not enough to be acquainted with what the Lord Jesus has done. It's not enough to know who the Lord Jesus is and facts surrounding him, but you need to follow him. That means you look to him. You listen to him, his voice. You live daily with him. It's asking him, what wilt thou have me to do? It's confessing that you are in darkness and you don't know what to do or where to go. A young man wonders, what will happen with my life? Well, look to the Lord Jesus Christ and let him guide and lead your life. And say, Lord, lead me in thy righteousness. Lead me that I may know thee above all. The text speaks about darkness, that those who follow him shall not walk in darkness. You see, what is that darkness? The darkness, that's how we were born. We were born, we were conceived and born in sin. Sin is that darkness. In 1 John 1 verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You can say you have fellowship with the Lord, but if you're still walking in darkness, then you are not following him. Darkness can refer to sin. It is sin, but it's also ignorance and unbelief. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 4, but ye brethren are not in darkness, that the day of the Lord should overtake you as a thief. A child of God has been turned from his own darkness to God's wonderful light. He used to walk in rebellion. He used to walk in sin, in ignorance, in resistance. He had a purposeless life. But now the Lord Jesus sheds light. Now he sees where he's from, where he's going to. Now he has a perspective. Now he is taught how to live in life. How we need this light. From a moral point of view, mankind is in darkness. And from a spiritual point of view, man is in darkness. And if it continues on like this, they will be forever in outer darkness. Many people do not realize the value of their soul. Neither do they realize who God is and what God is willing to be for them. They do not consider the reality of heaven. And they push away the thought of hell. Darkness covers the earth, and gross darkness the people, Isaiah 60 tells us. People doing the lusts of the flesh, having no light, no peace. Just like that woman caught in adultery. But the Lord Jesus had acquitted her, and we believe had entered her life, that she no longer walked in darkness. When a person does not know the Lord Jesus, he will be in intellectual, spiritual darkness. But when the Lord Jesus enters that life, light is shed abroad. No longer ignorant. The people of Israel, the Jews and scribes and Pharisees, they knew a lot about God's word, but they were still in darkness. You can know a lot about God's word, but it does not say you're in the light. He must enter your heart and life. John Newton says in one of his letters that in conversion, the first thing the Lord gives to people is light. And suddenly the lights go on, maybe slowly but steadily, or suddenly is also possible. But you start to see. And all of a sudden you realize, what am I actually doing? What am I living for? What is this all about? And then you see that you are defiled, that you're selfish, full of egoism. And you see something of the beauty of Christ, and you are drawn to Him. And then a cry is laid in your heart, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And so the Holy Spirit sheds light upon who Christ is and upon who we ourselves are. And He unites the soul to Christ. And it is then that the Lord Jesus becomes desirous and delightful. And once you have tasted His loving kindness and goodness, the light is turned on and you wish to belong to Him with everything you have. And the beginning of true wisdom is the fear of the Lord. That means then He sheds light in your heart. And that's a beginning of wisdom. It's a beginning of knowledge. But without Christ, we follow false lights. And people in the world say you can have a wonderful time if you do this or that, or you purchase that or go there or do this. Or. And they're all inviting us to live for them. They proclaim light. But it's all fake. It's all artificial. People lean on rational reasonings, but it doesn't give them happiness. People lean on man's philosophies, or they lean upon their own insights, or whatever it is, but they have no light. How wretched to follow fake and artificial life. An artificial light. For the Lord Jesus is the light of the world. He proves it because He died on the cross. He arose on the third day. He is now seated at the right hand of God. And He is now guiding and leading and nourishing and protecting His people, His church. And from the right hand of God, He is declaring from so many pulpits throughout the world that He is willing to be our friend, our Savior, our light. And in His light, we see light. Then everything falls in place. True light. So we need to follow this Savior. What does this following mean? It means to believe. It means to trust. It's the following of a disciple who is eager to learn from Christ. It's the following of a servant who desires to do the will of his master. It's the following of a traveler who is on his way on a journey through this life following Christ. It's like the following of a soldier, following into battle, following his general, ready to fight, the good fight of faith. Or it's following like a sheep, following a shepherd, knowing I shall have no want because He cares for me. It's following in trust, knowing that the Lord Jesus is the true guide. He's the true shepherd. The loving master. Following means here to put trust in Him. Believing. Acknowledging that you are in darkness. That you don't know the way to go. You may say that before the Lord and say, Lord, teach me the way I must go. It also means following Him wherever the Lord leads you. Knowing that He will provide for you. It's resting upon His finished work. It's leaning upon the Lord Jesus as your only light, it's essential. We need to follow. To ask Him, take me by the hand, O Lord, and lead me and help me to follow. And help me to know and realize what this life is all about. And what the future will entail. And that I may have a refuge in Thee. As a redemption, as a payment for all my sin. And following the Lord Jesus, you have light of spiritual life in this world. And you will have the light of everlasting life in the other world. And there will be no death and no darkness at all. When you follow Christ, you undoubtedly will be happy in both worlds, in this world and in the world to come. And following means that you forsake yourself. And you come behind the Lord Jesus. That you unconditionally learn to resign yourself before Him. Following Him will lead you to heaven. And so we also see that following the Lord Jesus that leads to walking. Walking. Then you're following, walking Him. Behind Him, looking to Him. He is the light of life. Because he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. It's not only then that you see the light of Christ, but you walk in that light. That light remains with you throughout life in the various stages of life. That light sheds light upon your path. You have that light even within you. Your heart and your mind are enlightened. And it's even greater because you yourself become a reflection of the light of Christ. You become a witness to other people. The light of the world dwells in you and you radiate that light. It's what like water, what the Lord Jesus said in John 4, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And what happens with water happens also with light. When that light shines in you, you start to radiate that light. You speak of that light. You enjoy that light. Others notice. Although they don't understand everything, but they notice you're walking in the light with the Lord. And that light continues. You no longer walk in darkness, no longer wondering, what is life about? And that light continues on forever and ever. That light cannot be quenched. He that has this light shall feel light in his mind, in his heart, in his conscience. Such a one will have that light shining around him and in him even in the old age. Even when death and grave are beckoning, and even when we receive news of a loved one who passed away so suddenly, then still this light of Christ is upon those who look to Him. He sheds light, and that light will continue to guide on one's journey. And you will never be in darkness. Just as it could be possible to follow the earth's rotation so that you would always be in sunshine. It's possible. So that you would never see night in a certain way. I don't know how that works exactly. But if you would move in such a way that you would continually be under sunshine, always in the light. Well, so the Lord Jesus, the light of the world, and knowing Him, you're continually in His light. And so the implication of knowing Christ as the light of the world is walking in His light. And that shows immediately that there's a separation between mankind. Because some walk in that light and others do not walk in that light. There's a parting of ways within mankind. There's an absolute antithesis. It's clear from the words, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." So some follow the light, and others do not follow the light. Those who follow the light have the light of life. Those who do not follow the Lord Jesus do not have that light of life. They have their excuses. The one thinks it's not necessary. The other doesn't want to listen. The other doesn't think it's worthwhile. Someone is attached to his sins. He doesn't want to bow under the Lord. He's too stubborn. But we must be overcome by that radiant light of the glorious Christ, and that's what happens when His light shines into your heart and you can't stop it anymore. Then that light becomes a power in you, and it shines in the dark corners of your heart, and you see all the dirt and the filth and the cobwebs, and you are brought low before God, and you say, "Woe, I must perish." But then in that light, you see the face of Christ calling you, "Come to me," and you will never walk in darkness again. It will never be the same. You will be in His light. And when Christ enters your life, the darkness is dispelled. And now we are in a week of preparation for the Lord's Supper. So for whom is the Lord's Supper? Well, it is for those who walk in the light with the Lord Jesus. It's for those who confess that they are in darkness and that they need His light. They're ashamed of their own darkness. They confess their darkness before the Lord. They look to Him for grace, for light, for mercy. They desire Him above everything else. Nothing else really can satisfy them but only the Lord Jesus Christ and His light. It may even seem to their own estimation that they do not have the Lord Jesus yet as their Savior, but still they cannot live without Him. They know that the Lord Jesus is the light of the world. And they need Him. They long for Him. Now, it can be that people think they follow Him because they go to church. They think of themselves as being Christians. And so they anticipate to come to the Lord's Supper. But it's about deeper matters. For whom is the Lord's Supper? For those who walk in the light with the Lord Jesus. For those who cannot live without Him. A people whose lives have never been surrendered to Him. Who do not walk in His ways. Who live for the enjoyment of this world. They don't know this light. They may know of it, but they do not know it. They are not walking with Him. And there are also those who are full of love and zeal to the Lord, who grieve because of their own remaining sin. And they need the Lord Jesus. They cannot live outside of Him. this light shines in their heart. They have become a sinner before God. They are ashamed of the cobwebs and the dirt and the filth of their life. And they daily flee to Him to be cleansed in that fountain set up for all sin and uncleanness. These people who are the guests at the Lord's Supper, they confess that they lie in the midst of darkness. And at times that darkness can even seem to overwhelm them. And then they cry out what we just could sing, "Make haste, O my God, to deliver, I pray, O Lord, to my rescue, make haste." Because they need Him. They need this light. They can't live without Him. They know that sin lies at the door of their heart. And they hate it. They hate all manner of sin. Therefore, they desire more and more to walk in His light. And they rejoice in His light. It's not that they rejoice as they should. But still they rejoice in it. Because the Lord Jesus has become precious to them. And the Lord reveals Himself to them. And so they are drawn with bonds of loving kindness. And the Lord delights to eat and drink with them. He delights to reveal Himself more and more to them as the light of the world. And therefore, the Lord's Supper is a joyful occasion. It's a joyful matter to be there with the Master at His table, following Him. And He feeds you, and He grants you the tokens of His broken body and His poured out blood. And you are refreshed that you can follow Him further and walk with Him further. And so you poor, forlorn sinner who cannot live outside of Christ, you're welcome to be here at the supper to rejoice in His salvation. And such will finally be led to the place where there is no darkness at all, no more night, but there will only be full radiant light. The light of Christ will then shine perfectly in heaven. And in anticipation of that, the Lord calls His people to be here at the supper. Amen. Shall we pray? O blessed Lord in heaven, we thank Thee that Thou art the light of the world. In the midst of so much darkness, and also darkness that is close to us, we thank Thee that this morning we could see the bright shining light that Thou dost emanate. And we thank Thee, Lord. And we pray, Lord, may that light shine in our hearts and lives. And may we learn to rejoice in Thy light and cause us to realize that outside of Thee there's only darkness and no light. And Lord, wilt Thou shed light upon our paths, also upon the lives of those who go through difficulties, who are awaiting results from the doctor, or who may feel lonely, or may suffer physically, who have pain. O Lord, wilt Thou be a light to them, who may lie awake at night. O Lord, wilt Thou be a light to shine upon our paths. Wilt Thou be a light to young people when they have to make decisions which way to go in life. Wilt Thou lead them, and may they ask for Thy light to shine in their lives. Wilt Thou be their salvation. Wilt Thou there to bless our young people the Sunday school children, the catechism students. Wilt thou shed light also in the old age when we feel that physical strength is becoming less? Wilt thou then be a light to us to enlighten our path, and that we may learn to rejoice in thy light? O Lord, remember us in mercy. Bring us back again this afternoon. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.